Thank you, brother. Let's open our Bibles again, please, at John chapter 16, and we come to the last three verses in the chapter, John 16, verse 31. Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Let's stand together, please, and we'll ask the Lord to write these words on our hearts and help us to grasp them in our ministry today. Father, we thank Thee for these wonderful, wonderful words, that Jesus has overcome the world. We take great peace today in the knowledge that the devil is not in control, nor will have the last say. We thank Thee that Thou art creator of this world, and Thou art the redeemer of this world, and Thou art the savior of sinners. We take great delight today in this communion, that we might take these symbols and remember what Jesus has accomplished for us and all that we are in Him. O Lord, help today. Help in the preaching. Give ear to Thy word, O Lord, and we pray that You will work Your will in us through these means of grace, in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining with us on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Our main message is on the totality, the finality, and sufficiency of the finished work of Christ on the cross. Now, I worked very hard to get those three terms, so please take them in. The total finality, total sufficiency, and the absolute completion of Jesus' work on the cross. Either atonement and satisfaction for sin was done completely by the Lord Jesus, or it needs to be added to by each person who would be saved. The most serious error in religious thinking is the little plus sign. Add anything to the work of Jesus on the cross, and you totally miss the point that Christ alone suffered up an infinite sacrifice for sin. Infinite means totally endless in its own value and totally complete. Some want to add their own works, prayer, religiosity, church attendance, family heritage, or something or other. But you must come to the cross naked. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. That is how we come to the Lord for salvation. The best term in the gospel vocabulary is bankrupt, for then you are a candidate for salvation. Until you face the fact and confess that you are a hopeless case, you cannot be saved. It's like the little boy who came to Dr. Bernardo and said that he wanted to enter one of his orphanages to be taken care of. And Dr. Bernardo said to him, "What makes you suited to my orphanage?" And the boy pointed to the rags that he was wearing, and he said, "Surely these are sufficient to suggest that I need to come to the orphanage. And when you recognize that all your religious attempts are but rags, there is no value in them, they are but cursed, then you may come to the cross to accept the work of Jesus as that finished, total sacrifice and all-sufficient to save your soul. That's the theme that we have today, and we're coming firstly with a wonderful hymn before we come to the message. Stay with us for the program as we let the Bible speak. Today, you're free. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. You're no longer the devil's slave. You're no longer in his control. You are a servant, a slave of the Lord Jesus, and gladly at that. There are no reluctant slaves of Jesus. We are servants that delight in the one who purchased us at the cross. And so as Christians, we're here today to worship. And we worship because of the victory that was completed there upon that tree at Calvary. And we are not here today to offer up anything that will win the victory. The victory is done. The conquering is over. And the conqueror himself, our Lord Jesus, speaks to us, take rest. Rest in my victory. Receive my blessings. And so by this communion today,
We take the cup and bread by faith, and we rest in the victory that Jesus has already accomplished. Who was it that said, "We are more than conquerors through him that loved us"? The conqueror makes us conquerors because we're delivered from the grip of Satan and sin, and we're set free. But you know, we forget these things. In the rush of life, in the little devotions that we make, we forget these things. We need to be reminded. And so as we look into that cup and bread today, rejoice in your conqueror and that you are made an overcomer through the Lord Jesus. One more way by which the Lord conquers the world. He conquers the world by taking the world out of our hearts. You see, if the Lord didn't do that, if he conquered at Calvary and he routed the devil, but he never took the world out of your heart, and you were still in love with the world, rejecting the grace of the Savior, he wouldn't be a conqueror in your life. And all cross bearers are lovers of the cross. We love the cross. We kiss the Son and we kiss the cross because it takes the world out of our hearts. And by the power of the message of the cross, we give up the world and we follow the Lord Jesus. I want you to think of that hymn that we would have loved to sing today. Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply as to a little child. And then stanza two, tell me the story slowly, that I may take it in, that wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me the story often, for I forget so soon. The early dew of morning has passed away at noon. Tell me the story softly, with earnest tones and grieve. Remember, I'm the sinner Jesus came to save. And in the telling of the story and in the reminding of Calvary, the Lord takes the world out of our hearts. This story was told of an old saint who was visited by a young pastor, and the old man was dying. And he, young man, went to visit him, and he sat with him a while, and the conversation was kind of stilted. The young pastor said, "Sir, I'm not sure what I can tell you more." And the old man said, "Tell me the old, old story." And that account was learned by a Miss Hankey, and she was inspired to write this children's hymn, "Tell Me the Old, Old Story." And that became one of the most translated children's hymn in all of the world. It was probably popularized by Ira D. Sankey, who had it sung at the Great Crusades by D.L. Moody. And there's another story of a stockbroker who turned to gambling and sin and lost everything. And he was turning to suicide. And as he contemplated the act of taking his own life, he heard a congregation singing this song, "Tell me the old, old story." And as he listened to those words, it sank in that Jesus died for him. And he was recovered from his suicidal ways and became a Christian. The old, old story took the world out of his heart. And it can do that for you today. The Lord Jesus removes the lusts of the world out of our hearts. Those vices, those sins that need to be broken. And the Lord does so by faith. Faith is the hand that receives the promises. It's the key that unlocks the promises of God to our souls. And when the Lord opens our heart to believe on the Lord Jesus, the world diminishes. And Jesus becomes all in all to the believer. The Lord also takes the world out of our hearts by repentance. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, he turns us and turns us away from the world. He works to draw back us back from the very paths of sin. And the things that we loved that were sweet become bitter. One look at the cross, one sight of the blood, and we recognize it was my sins that Jesus paid for on that cross. Who can love sin any longer? Who can love the world any longer when Jesus comes into our hearts? And then by the Word of God, this Bible will keep me from sin, just as sin will keep me from the Bible. And if you're a Bible reader, if you meditate and memorize God's Word, the world will be taken out of your heart. Again, by baptism. In baptism, we are to die to self and to sin and to rise in newness of life. But the symbol of baptism, which is water, it's only a symbol. It's a symbol of the work of the Spirit in our hearts. And the Spirit of God takes away the world so that we can make that vow that I will renounce the world and sin and be a disciple of Jesus only. I will follow Jesus all my days. And then the Lord also has anointed or appointed communion to take the world out of our hearts. And that's why he bids us to remember him in his death. And we are doing today, by taking this juice and bread, what the Lord desires, that he may further take the world out of our hearts. Have you found the world to be strong? Have you found its temptations nigh break you? Well, here at this communion table, there is the promise that the Lord will give you strength. The Lord will give you victory. And as you trust in Jesus' victory, you become a conqueror through his power. And by faith and by these visible signs, as we look unto them and we consider Jesus' love, Jesus' victory at the cross, power comes into our souls that we can say no to the world, no to sin, and that we can rest in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus. Communion is to be taken with a knowledge of redemption. You can't take the cup and bread without thinking of Calvary and the cross and what Jesus did for you upon that tree. Communion is to be taken with joy, resting in the work of the Savior. Communion is taken also by a personal profession of faith. I hope that you're ready to tell the world that you belong to Jesus. How can you come here today and take this cup and bread and say, I'm a secret disciple? Can't do that. You're coming openly to tell your brothers and sisters and all who are here today, I love Jesus too. He died on that cross for me. And I take that cup and bread to let it be shown that I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus. And I'm willing to tell the world. Communion is to be taken with a desire for Christ-likeness. You want to be changed. You want your heart to be changed. You want your walk to be a holy walk. You want your life to reflect that others will know that you have been with Jesus. That's what communion can do for you. Communion is to be taken as a means to live above the world and witness of the love of Jesus to you. These two great statements come together. Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished." And Jesus told his disciples, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." This is the rest for our faith. "And we shall not fear what men will do. Be of good cheer. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Praise Him. Let us worship.
Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. What is your story? Do you have a testimony of salvation? How important to know that your sins are forgiven. Remember, it's not your works that will save you. It is the work of the Savior Himself, who alone has the power to save. Do not rest until you know that you're saved. It is more important than houses or lands, which shall all burn up. It is more important than the health of your own body, for it will one day die, but your soul will never die. Either you will go to live with God in heaven or with the devil in hell. So it is vital that you are saved from your sins. Yes, your own sins. Sin is personal. It belongs to the one who chose it and the one who put his hand to it, or whose mind spawned it. That guilt you carry is the result of sin committed in your own body. You don't feel guilty over the crimes of a neighbor. You may be shocked by them, but you are not accountable for them. It is your own sins. Every idle word and every deed done in the body will be judged by God at the judgment bar, unless you are saved by the mighty power of Jesus' precious blood, which he shed upon that cross at Calvary. Can you not picture now in your mind and heart the Holy One, the Son of God, in human body, kneeled to the cross? Can you not see those wounds in his hands, his feet? Can you not see the crown of thorns that is placed upon his brow? And from those wounds flow the crimson blood of our Lord Jesus, atoning blood. And then listen to his own voice crying out, "It is finished." That's the victory of the cross. That's the triumph of our Lord Jesus over sin on behalf of his own people. Will you not therefore come today and put your personal trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the gift of your Son, and we thank thee, Lord Jesus, for your atoning death, that you set yourself with determination to go to the cross, to be silent before men, that you might be placed upon that Roman gibbet to suffer as a sacrifice, lifted up to die in our place. We give thanks, O Lord, that you loved us so much, that you gave yourself to die on that cross, and that you offered up your body. You offered it up to the Father as an atoning sacrifice for sinners. And I thank thee today for what you've done for my soul. I thank thee for opening my heart and cleansing me and giving me the gift of eternal life. Now remember those that are listening in right now. I pray, dear Lord, that you will draw each one to personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus. O God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will hover over them, cause them to be convinced of their sin, and to look to Jesus, the sinless, suffering Savior on that cross. O Lord, hear prayer, answer prayer, and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.